it is really good to be here. I think the last time I visited here was about a year ago, something like that. So some of you might remember that. Some of you have gone into counseling and have had trauma, post-trauma, stress, you know, whatever work from it. And others of you I might be seeing for the first time. So as has been said, it's so great to be here. For those of you that aren't aware, this community here is part of a larger community of churches. We've always wrestled with kind of this identity. Like, are we like a denomination? Are we a what? Are we, you know, we just kind of forget all those sort of trying to categorize and sort it all out. We're just a tribe of people that God has called together, and we just can't escape each other. That's about the bottom line. And we're not in a competition with the rest of the church in the world. We're not in sort of some kind of race or you know, fun drive or statistics drive or anything. We're just trying to be faithful to Jesus. And there is this little community of people. We find ourselves all over the world called the Vineyard. And we're just here saying, Jesus, you haven't told us to stop yet, so we're going to keep going. Does that make sense? That's just kind of the dynamics that are at play. So if you do, I'm here just as a friend, as been said, and I know I'm God's friend. I hope I'm yours, and that's just kind of the heart of what we're here to do today. But we do really take seriously the Bible. We don't worship the book. That's kind of a tricky thing you can kind of end up doing if you're not really careful. The binding and the pages and, you know, all the words and the Greek and the Hebrew and all that stuff are all important, but we don't bow at the feet of the text. Does that kind of make sense? We want to engage with the author of the book, and our best efforts are always just going to see part of one of the reflections in the Bible says it's like we're looking in a glass dimly. You know, we just can't quite get the technology together to have a perfect reflection back of what the text is saying. But that's part of the journey of following Jesus and being empowered and engaged by the Holy Spirit is to constantly come back to it, constantly come back and say, God, what are you saying to us? What are you speaking to us now, anchored to the truth and stability and reality of this book? So those of you that maybe come out of a bit of a background where the book's kind of, you felt it pounded on top of your head more than actually like bring life into your soul, these words are food to us. I mean, they really are. They can go deep into our guts and wash us and cleanse us and constantly just kind of set our compass in the right direction again and again as it can get spinning and the insanity of life and bigger pictures of what's going on in the world, a small picture, you know, of Conroe and what's going on just down the street here. We're fighting for a compass and God to actually not just engage with our head, but out of coming to the biblical text, like say, okay, I can actually start hearing your voice to me. Does that make sense? Like, what are you saying to me? What are you saying to us as a community, as the Vineyard here in Conroe? And what are you saying to us, Lord, in the bigger picture of what you're about in Texas and what you're about? Yes, there is a rest of the United States. Just want you to know that. Yes, so, you know, what are you about in the U.S.? And then, lo and behold, there actually is a country that sits right on the north border of the U.S. It's not another state. It's not some forgotten, you know, sort of forlorn world. It's a country called Canada. That's where I come from. So you just want you to be aware that, you know, it's just kind of, you know, as the ripples go out, they're God's at work. You know, it's a pretty big world out there. But sometimes we lose sight of that. But so if we could, if you have a way to get to the Bible, and I think it's going to pop up on the screen here as well, we're going to go to a book called John, chapter 16, and we're going to just dive into some teaching. And I hope it is in line with where you guys have been at as a community in the last while. And I think so. So I'm going to pray. Pray first. And let's think about the gentleman here. What was your what's your name again? You felt the Lord speaking to us in the middle of the worship. Oh, that is Walter. I know Walter. What happened to your piano, Walter? I was getting really, really scared. I was trying to worship God, and I thought, oh, no, Walter's going to kill me. Something happened to the piano. We'll have to. You probably would. So, but the Lord says, wait. Just wait. Don't jump to conclusions. Don't freak out about the piano. Just wait. I thought that was a great, great word. Was everybody able to hear kind of in the midst of things? So for us in this tribe, in the vineyard, it's not an exact science, it's not a formula, but the Lord will, his voice will begin to bubble up. We call it prophecy. It's simply just the church speaking through the church to the church. And it's a way the Holy Spirit. Do you have any more sense of what you were kind of feeling there, that Walter, that everybody here? Sure. No. It's trust. Yeah. Yeah. It's kind of that thing of don't hit the panic button. Like, wait, rest. Does that make sense to everybody? Let's just, so, you know, I always want to be aware. Kind of a little phrase that's kind of helped me over the years is God doesn't speak like water from a spout, but he speaks like a rain. So, you know, I do have a role to play today. I've taken seriously a calling that I believe is from the Holy Spirit, you know, to engage with the Bible, to kind of study it. I got a little more space and time maybe, you know, to do that than some others, but it doesn't give any more authority from this position than what we hear all together as a community. It's kind of this mix, isn't it amazing? So it's not about power or about leveraging. It's not about hierarchy. It's just about what is the Spirit gifting each of us to do, and then how does it all piece together? So I have a role to play to kind of throw some things out there today, but I know that the Spirit of God speaks like a rain amongst all of us. And this is one of the most incredibly disarming things of the kingdom of God is you'll hear his voice in the most unexpected places and sometimes through the most unsuspecting people. And we always kind of have to be at that posture. So I really feel like as we, you know, engage with just a few minutes here of what we're going to talk about, the end game, the Lord's inviting us to settle down. It's kind of like, I stayed last night in the McDonald's. I stayed at McDonald's farm last night. And I love, man, this is one of, I like, I'm for real. Like, this is one of my favorite families, like, in the universe. And just the swirl around the house, you know. But it's kind of like I could see, you know, the McDonald's. Like, okay, everybody, just settle down for a minute. Like, let's ease on down just a little bit here. And it's kind of that sense, right? And the Lord just saying, just settle down. It's going to be, you know, just kind of, we can rest for a moment. Just kind of take a deep breath. And so I'm trusting that as we kind of reflect on a couple things today, it seems that's where the Spirit's kind of setting the trajectory right now. How many of you feel like you need that in this moment? All right, well, let's just wait then, just for a minute. And if you're comfortable with this, I never do what the guy with the microphone says, so I totally get it if you don't do what I say. Like, I get that. But if you're comfortable, let's just open your hands just for a moment, just before the Lord. You feel him? Here he is. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Sometimes we don't get church, Lord, and we show up out of obligation or duty or something, but I ask now, Holy Spirit, that the power of community and why you draw us together, that we actually need this. We need this space. We need it. It's not that we can't encounter you just on our own. We don't have to come to a certain building to get anything. It's not about bricks and mortar and offerings and roof projects. But we need this, Lord. We do. We need each other. It's the way you've designed it. And there are things and ways that we encounter your presence that we just can't do on our own. It doesn't pit one against the other. It doesn't make one more powerful or more precious. But what we can only get because we've come together in this place under your invitation, and under your authority, Lord, just let the fullness of it just fill this room, Lord. All the activity of the Holy Spirit that we can't access just on our own, outside of community and friendship with you and with each other, just release it in this room, in Jesus' name. Empower us now, Lord, to be the church of Jesus Christ. Show us again, Holy Spirit, how to walk with you, how to keep step with you. Jesus said, you're the one that walks beside us. You're the one that, so how are you stepping? How are you engaging in the room right now? Begin to show us, Lord, as we go to the text, even just who we're to pray for today, how we're to receive from others today, how to let down our guard and settle and trust again. And where trust has been broken, I ask that you would heal it, Lord. Where it's been hard to trust you, just come in a supernatural way now and align us. Just help us see you the way you really are, not how we've created you to be or how you've been distorted by hurt or disappointment or various things. Come, Lord, reveal who you are. Where trust has been broken in the house of our friends, this mysterious thing, Lord, we're healed many times right back full circle to where we were wounded, whether that's through forgiveness or trusting again or stepping out, letting our guard down, whatever that all needs to look like. Come, Lord. We need you. We need you. Just before we move on, is there just, it's maybe a person, it might be more than one person, or I could be just kind of missing this, but Is there one or two people here, there's something you're really afraid of in regards to your health? It would seem almost like something in your family line maybe, or something, or there's just a lot of fear around health because of what you've heard, or maybe there's just things and it's just kind of crippling you on the inside right now, or stealing that peace and that rest. Does that make sense to anybody? Just stand, there's a few hands, just a couple. Just if it feels safe enough, maybe just stand right where you are just for a minute. I just feel we shouldn't push past this. Anyone else? There's quite a few people standing. So just kind of, yeah, stand first so that we can kind of know who we're praying for. There's someone at the back there too. So just take a minute. Just come, if you're sitting close by them and you feel comfortable, or probably if you feel uncomfortable about praying for someone, just get up and try this, because it's kind of how the Holy Spirit works. So, and you guys have been talking a lot about being naturally supernatural, just how the Spirit of God kind of invades our space and comes into community. Ministry doesn't always have to happen at the end of the service or the whatever. So just come now. Just pray for them. It's not about giving advice right now. We're going, well, I was afraid of that in 1974, and here's what I did. You know, it's like, just bless what the Holy Spirit's initiating. So, Lord, through our hands and through our mouths right now, Lord, we just pray peace on each other. And particularly, Lord, where a fear of some kind of health issue, something that's just break it off in the name of Jesus. That there might be rest, that there might be peace, that there just might, we ask Holy Spirit, we just speak over these minds and souls and bodies and say, be at rest, just be at peace. As you struggle for healing, or you're making adjustments in life or lifestyle or whatever's happening, but particularly where fear has gripped you, we say this is not your portion. This is not the way. Fear be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. Fear be gone in the name of Jesus Christ. In the name of Jesus. And I don't get how this stuff works, Lord, but if there is some kind of connection with a family line or genetics or hereditary things where we have authority to speak, we just speak it out now. Lord, we just cut that off. We cut it off. Let your kingdom break into this reality right now. Lord, what we're all heading for, when you return again and your kingdom is established forever and ever, let it break through into our experience in our life right now. So just cut off. We cut off just hereditary jacked upness, just brokenness that's come through the family line physically, but also mentally, Lord, for those that are that's been gripping them right now, Lord. We just pray for mental health. We know this is complex, and we've made it so black and white in the past, just goofy stuff we've done to each other. But, Lord, where we need healing there, we just come in simplicity and say, heal our minds, Lord. Let your kingdom come. Let your kingdom come. Amen. You might want to check in with the person that you just were praying for at the end of the service and say, hey, if you feel like there's some more to be prayed for there, totally go for it. But all right, let's read this. So John chapter 16, start at verse 7. There we go. But I hope I've got the same idea. But very truly, I tell you, it's kind of this funny, for those of you that have been knocked around the church kind of scene for a while, you might remember a particular version of the biblical text called the King James Version. You familiar with that? Some of you got that one. And I remember as a little kid, I'd always hear these out of the words of Jesus, you know, lots of times you read the red and it would say, verily, verily. You got a verily, verily. Everyone say verily, verily. Verily, verily. So that's it. This is a verily, verily. So in the New International Version, it's like, but truly I tell you, somehow it just kind of loses the verily thing. You know, so it's like, verily, verily. It's like, I'm telling you the truth. I just want to make it clear, I'm telling you the truth. It's like a, I'm truly, truly telling you. It's almost like when you're sitting down with you know, family or friends, or particularly if you're engaged, you know, in raising children and such. I remember those moments, you know, when you get your kid and you're like, now look me in the eyes. Like, just look me. Don't look away. Like, look me in the eyes. I got to tell you something right now. That's kind of that feeling, right? And it's like Jesus is doing that with this, but truly I tell you, or as we said, this verily, verily thing. It's like, look me in the eyes right now. Like, just stare deep into who I am. I am not messing with you right now. You know, it would say with around Jesus in some of the stories in other parts of the book of John and what we call the Gospels. Several times you'll read about where there'll be like a crowd that's just listened to Jesus, or even in the middle of his talking, and they're kind of, you know, they're kind of just kind of whispering to each other, and they're going, who teaches like this? Like, where does he get this stuff? Sometimes they would say, we've never heard it like this before. Like, I've gone to the synagogue my whole life. You know, I've been raised in the stuff. I've memorized a whole bunch of the biblical text. I've sat in teaching after teaching after teaching. And it's like they would say around Jesus, where is he getting this from? Like, it's ringing so true, but there's a different spin. There's a different slant. And a lot of times what it is, and if we're kind of in this want to be like Jesus, this is one of the ways that Jesus was incredibly naturally supernatural. He let truth just be what it is. He didn't have to massage it or manipulate it or out of some kind of insecurity, which happens a lot of time with people that end up with one of these. It's like we're way more insecure than we give off sometimes. And in the pressure of that, you can try to like coerce like an environment or overstate things just in desperation to make a point. Or you kind of, you know, it's like we used to believe, you know, the louder it got, the more anointed it was. I've learned over the years, the louder it gets, it's probably the more insecure the preacher is, or the sin that he's screaming about, he's just committed. And he's like, you know, he's like really panicked and just trying to get it out of himself. Does that kind of make sense? So it's like, it's this whole thing. And so it's a really fascinating way that Jesus communicates. He's like, I'm telling you the truth. I'm not a charlatan. I'm not out to get your money. I'm not out just to put butts in the seats. I don't need this ministry. I'm not on some great traveling show. I'm not trying to like pay my bills through this whole thing. Or I don't have some need inside of me to have crowds following me. It's like I'm just gonna lay it out there like it is and trust. It's kind of like how that thing was bubbling up in Walter this morning. It's like wait. Wait. So truly I say to you, and if you can get, I mean, this is going to be a metaphor, but it does, in a mysterious way, you can really experience this. Look into the eyes of Jesus. Just look into his eyes. And that peace, you'll start to settle, actually. You're like, truly, truly, I say to you, truly. Like, I'm not messing with you. I'm not just kind of throwing out some stuff there. I mean, that's why we cling to the text. Again, not in worshiping the book or this and that. It's the essence of what Jesus is trying to communicate to us. It would say later in this talk about the Holy Spirit that Jesus is giving that it's okay. You'll be able to navigate persecution. You'll be able to navigate life. You'll be, as Walter was saying, you know, all the confusion, all the stuff that hits you, you're going to be able to navigate it because he says the Holy Spirit will come and he will walk beside you into truth. You'll find truth, which again isn't just intellectual, doctrinal knowledge. It's a piece of it. But it's truth that so gets inside of you that you can actually worship God. In the book of Colossians chapter 3, it says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly. It's like if the word of Christ has filled you up so much, like it's just, it's got in your bones, it's got in your soul, it's got in your heart, it's just completely saturating you. Not again, not just mental memorization, but the text is getting inside of who you are, and it's resulting in the actual words of Jesus. There's like a real mysterious thing about the Holy Spirit that Jesus says as well. He will remind you of things that I've said. I love that. It's sort of like a Doctor Who episode. Like I can actually like go back in time through the invitation of the Holy Spirit. I don't mean this some weird like wacky way, but there are things that Jesus speaks that he said yesterday, today, and forever that have always rung true that the Holy Spirit will remind me of. It's like a latent memory, again, not because I've experienced it, but because it's in my DNA. Does that make sense? Paul would describe it like this in the book of Galatians and Romans and things like that. We have actually become co-heirs with Jesus in the family of God. The Spirit of God testifies with my spirit, says in Romans 8, that I am now what? A child of God. And so the Holy Spirit comes and he awakens things in us. So you're in this journey as a community of going, how are we engaging with the Holy Spirit? You might have to dust off some of your notes. There might be memories that are really fresh in your head and heart right now over the last while as various people in the community have just been unlocking snapshots of how this looks through the book of Acts. How the Holy Spirit was showing up again and again and again and again in the rhythm of what it just meant to be a community of people following Jesus. If you follow Jesus, the Holy Spirit is all over that thing. Like you cannot escape him. But the end game is not simply power. The end game is just not the experience, although that's critical. And sometimes we miss what the Holy Spirit's saying because we become afraid of the dynamic that sometimes he creates, right? And I think that's partly, I don't know, I'm kind of reading in between the lines. That's the journey kind of you've been on. It's sort of like, well, let's kind of find this place of tension where we really are not afraid of the experience that the Holy Spirit can bring in our community, but we don't want to get sidetracked by that. We actually want it, the end result to be that we're looking deep in the eyes of Jesus and we're hearing what he's saying to us. Does that make sense? And it's always a mixture. It's crazy. I remember in the early days of coming out of a very, very conservative denomination in the nation of Canada, and I went to the seminary and I was trained theologically and all this, and without going into all the detail, the presence and power of the Holy Spirit just completely sidewiped us. And actually, the doorway for us that was kind of into the simplicity of just kind of this openness, oh my goodness, maybe God could actually do stuff he said he does. You know, it's kind of like this whole thing. The doorway for us was through the experience of worship. I don't mean just the music. I mean the encounter with God in the midst of it. And in our Vineyard history, we've called that intimacy. Sometimes we've confused that with a musical style. Intimacy has nothing to do with the style. You can just be in the midst of one of the most raucous Sleepy Ray riffs, you know, and have tears just streaming down your face. You know what I'm saying? Because you're encountering the presence of Jesus and the power of the Spirit in the midst of that. And all of a sudden, it's not about a song anymore. You are looking into the eyes of God. And he's looking back at you. And all of a sudden, everything changes. We stepped into this encounter with the Holy Spirit. I remember sitting with this group of children that were just kind of like, what is going on? You know, we're trying to like walk our children through this. And of course, there's not as many filters and things. And they're just like kind of going for it. I mean, people are falling over and we're seeing actual physical healings happening. I didn't believe this could even happen. So you got to really sort of, you know, I'm pleading the blood in the middle of every Holy Spirit encounter. I'm holding up my Bible and just going, oh, Jesus, this better be you. You know, that terrifying feeling. But we're like looking down at these kids and I'm like trying to explain all this. And this one little guy goes, hey, can I say something? He's like kind of waving at me. He's just like, he just won't let me alone. So I'm like, I better let him talk or he's just going to be distracting the whole thing the whole time. He just kind of looks up, and this is in the old days when we had titles like this, and he goes, Pastor Dave? I'm like, yeah. And first thing he says, he goes, I had a pet hamster. I was like, oh, no, here we go. This is just going to be what's going on. I had a pet hamster. It was really, like, tame, and every once in a while, we'd just leave the cage door open, and he could kind of, like, run around, like, in his bedroom. Like, he wouldn't let him out all over the house. I killed more hamsters doing that over the years than, you know, you buy all the little tubes and all the stuff, and then they gnaw their way out, and they get fried on the gas heater or whatever. It's like, sorry. Oh, sorry. That was a distraction. That was not God. Wait. Just wait. Just wait. We're coming back. That's the message on hell. That's right. We're going to leave that one for next Sunday. But he says one day his hamster got in the water dish. And he's kind of all wet. And it was one of these times when the door's open. And I kind of sort of, where is this going to go? And this kid's like, and he went over to the light socket. And I was like, oh, man, here we go. What's going to happen with this story? And he says, this is in how this kid described it. The hamster sticks his nose in the light socket, and he just goes, and he says he shot across the room. He hit the other wall. He's sitting there. His hair's all sticking out, and he's smoking. And then he looks up at me with these, like, big eyes, and he's like, is that what the Holy Spirit is like? And I said, yeah, that's it. That's it. You got it right there. That's the perfect description. You know, some people over the years have said, you know, it's like we're wired for 110 and like 220 shoots through your body. You know, sometimes I get kind of, you know, it makes Raymond all uncomfortable and stuff. I get into like the electronic world, you know, and I got like little loops going and I got all kinds of weird little keyboards. And I was in Germany some years ago and I had this little Alesis keyboard. It was really cool. I kind of like to use it for some different sounds. And the problem was, though, I didn't have the right adapter, and I didn't realize it. But, you know, in Europe, everything's wired for 220, and it's like 110, you know, it's set up for. So somehow, I don't even know how I manhandled the plug, or I don't know what I was thinking. So I got this 110 little unit plugged into the 220, and we're like into the worship time, and it's a bunch of kids, and they're all like up around the front, and they're doing this. And all of a sudden, I see in their mouths, they're going, fire. Like, I can't hear it because of the music, but they're going, fire. And I'm just going, oh, God, must be here. Like, this is like, I'm like, this is amazing. These kids are just getting swept in, and they're just, but they just keep going, fire, fire. And there's a look on their face that's kind of panicking, and I'm going, what? And then I start smelling. I'm like, I can smell smoke. I'm like, God's here so strong. I can actually smell it. And then I look over at my keyboard, and the power transformer is on fire. Like, there's flames, like, shooting out the side, and, like, there's smoke, like, going everywhere. We're, like, pulling out plugs and trying to, because I had it plugged in the wrong wiring. But anyway, that's kind of like what the Holy Spirit's like, right? It's sort of this, there's something that can react. And certain people are more wired to have, you know, kind of it jolt their body. But again, the end game is looking into the eyes of Jesus, right? What are you saying here, Lord? What are you doing? So that was kind of a long-winded way. We just got verily, verily out of my mouth. So it's like, I'm trained in the Baptist tradition, so I'm like Mr. Expositional. So I'll have to keep going. So it's for your good that I'm going away. Unless I go away, the advocate, all kinds of things we could say there, obviously, we won't. The Holy Spirit. It's the word Jesus is using for it's a very legal term. He's kind of coming alongside, and he's walking alongside with us, and he's pleading our case. Not that God needs to be, you know, but he's on our behalf. He's walking us through. He's navigating us through life, and he's pleading our case. in our broken bodies, in our broken communities, in our jacked up histories, in our misunderstandings of God and misunderstandings of each other, the big picture of the world. I mean, Putin's insane, and what's going on here and there? Many of you in this room, you know, have brothers and sisters, uncles, aunts, cousins that have, you know, put on a military uniform and in great, great sacrifice and have stepped out and just walked into war zones all over the world. And you just go, what is happening? There's an advocate. There's someone who's walking alongside us, you know, kind of in the most intimate moments of life, the most broken, painful things we've experienced that maybe no one can see, to the largest issues that face the planet and face human history. And advocates come. But unless I go away, he won't come to you. But if I go, I will send him to you. I will. He comes in power. He comes in the Spirit of Jesus. Many times in the New Testament, the Holy Spirit is called the Spirit of Christ. Like there's no conflict here. The Father, Son, one of the most powerful things of the Trinity. And some people are really jacked up on this in current like theological discussion and stuff, not to get into all that. It's kind of like the Father was kind of, you know, God is sort of like some from era past, and Jesus is kind of some new manifestation of God, and, you know, the Spirit, well, we're not even sure about that stuff. No, it's all the heart of God. It's him getting us down to a place again where we can look into his eyes and go, I am walking beside you. You can swim against the stream of everything that's coming against you, because I am with you. And Jesus makes it very clear, and he will even later in the text than we're going to read, and you can, you know, read it on your own. Like all the streams, like you start following Jesus. Some have called it the upside down kingdom, you know, when you step into what it means to follow him. And another way to describe that is you're starting to cut upstream against everything else that's around you. All the perspectives, all the thoughts. And again, we got to be very careful that that doesn't just turn into some kind of religious tirade or religious campaign. It's just the reality. We have now stepped into God's ways that are moving against the way human history, everything's moving. And we long for the return of Jesus, but we live in these times where we're waiting for his return. And he says, but don't panic. Don't be afraid. Look in my eyes. The Holy Spirit's come. Now here's what he's going to do. He'll prove the world to be wrong. Now again, we got to be careful with language, right? So the world isn't talking about your neighbor who, you know, smokes and drinks and does whatever stuff. You know, like that's not the world. The world in the biblical understanding, at least from my vantage point, is can kind of wrestle it out. The language that's used, it's the way things are wired. It's the systems of thought. It's the way we assume things will work. You know, if you want to get ahead in your career, you got to hurt a few people. You just got to step on a few heads and crush a few toes and kind of crawl up that ladder. You know, if you want to survive, you just got to, like, you know, disobey a few laws, like buy a few guns and just kind of, like, you know, get down in a hole somewhere and just kind of could beat the system, man. You're going to beat the system that way, or, you know, whatever kind of images we've got and such. And it's like, the Spirit comes and says, no, these are wrong ways. It's amazing how much of that actually can bleed into our church experience, can it? But the Spirit comes and proves that the world is wrong about sin, about righteousness, it says here. I would propose to you, like, a kind of a better way to say righteousness in both the Hebrew and the Greek is the word justice. Justice has taken kind of a bad rap sometimes historically, particularly in the evangelical church, because we're afraid of, you know, just kind of funding programs. Just get that all out of your head. It's the simplicity of just things that are wrong getting set right. Jesus says, this is deep in me, and as we encounter the Holy Spirit, that's what's going on. Let's take healing, for example. What's the end game of healing someone's body? Righteousness, justice, not some power thing. All of a sudden, power becomes actually the very smallest part of the equation. It all becomes about people. Sin, justice, and judgment about sin because people don't believe in me, about righteousness or justice because I'm going to the Father where you can see me no longer, and about judgment because the prince of this world now stands condemned. I'm going to wrap this up pretty quick because we did a whole big preamble there. I wasn't quite expecting, but I think it was okay. Was it helpful? So just as when the Holy Spirit comes, so you got this 220 shooting through everything. The hamster's blowing his mind, you know, it's like, yeah, Raymond's taking, he's written hamster down four times, he's a little ADD, he kind of, kids kind of get it, but hamster one, hamster keyboard, hamster whatever. So the systems of thought, kind of the way we naturally think, that's really only what supernatural means. Like you're wrestling with naturally supernatural. It just means kind of the way we've assumed things naturally work is actually broken. So we need something supernatural to come in. It's not about listening to Coast to Coast at 2 a.m. and, you know, hearing about UFOs and aliens and ghosts. Like, you know, it's not just, supernatural doesn't mean paranormal. Supernatural just means the way that we are naturally inclined right now is actually broken. Does that make sense? So the Holy Spirit comes to say that's wrong. The way to deal with it in the world system is wrong. The first thing is in regards to sin. I won't unpack this deeply. Just all of this to say, and I think this is deep in our vineyard genetics, in our DNA, if you will, and I think it's something we shouldn't be afraid of. We are broken. Now, wherever you're at, kind of some of you don't even think about this stuff. Others of you are deeply engaged in reading and, you know, on the internet or studying, or some of you might be deep into the academics of the Christian faith, which is a very important pursuit. Wherever you land in all this, you know, there's all this fear, you know, about the cross, about, what, you know, was God like, you know, some big abusive thing on the throne, you know, just kind of beating up Jesus, and what does this all mean, or, you know, all the pain and stuff in the Old Testament, all that. Just the bottom line, I don't want to oversimplify it, but just for the sake of what we're talking about this morning, my experience, what I think the Bible's saying, and just walking out this crazy thing in community for 30 years, we're jacked up. We're just messed up. And Jesus makes no sense from my vantage point. The cross makes no sense if we're really not as broken as God says we are. Now, that's not some big religious hammer to scream at people. We're totally depraved and, you know, kind of like the hellfire and brimstone. It's not that approach at all. It's just coming in humility before God and saying we need Jesus desperately. And the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit walked into this reality called the cross. And so there's something, we end up being naturally supernatural, not because we're trying really hard to be, but I think one of the key things that allows us to really live there and cultivate that is we just realize we're broken. John Wimber used to say, this is just one beggar helping another beggar find out where there's bread. Even under the power of the Holy Spirit, I realize this is all his work. I can't pull this off. I haven't now somehow arrived because the power of the Spirit's on. I've seen the Spirit fall on most unsuspecting people. It's why I love walking alongside in friendship with the poor and the marginalized and the broken of the world. I've seen Jesus in their eyes more times than in the most intense, you know, kind of seminary instructions I've had, or some of the great speakers of the world, you know, just kind of unpack the stuff which I value and all of that. But we find Jesus most significantly when we're not afraid to walk into the broken places of our own lives, the broken places of community, and the broken places of the world. This is where the Holy Spirit shines. And he proves the world wrong. No one's unredeemable. But it's kind of this upside down thing, right? It's swimming upstream. To find freedom from your brokenness, you've got to be open to your brokenness. I say this with all caution. I've got many friends, like, for real. I'm not just, like, blowing preacher smoke up your, you know, whatever. It's like up your Bible. I've got, you know, I have friends, you know, in the Buddhist faith. And one of the things we struggled with together is, like, you know, I'm not a Buddhist. I don't believe there's a little light shining inside of me. If I could just fan it, and maybe Jesus could really help me just become more who I am. And, you know, that. And of course, as a human being, he fulfills that. But who I am outside of Christ is completely shattered. And so just in the simplicity of needing, and then when we minister to each other, in the power of the Spirit, we must minister out of our brokenness. And that's what keeps it real. That's what we mean. It's part of what we mean when we say naturally supernatural. You can't unpack it from a very real way if you've got some sort of inflated view of yourself. Paul would say it in a different way in some of the New Testament reflections. Don't think higher of yourself than you should. Now, don't think lower of yourself than you should either. It's like just don't make it about you at all. Let's just make it about Jesus. And the weird thing about Jesus is he never made it about himself. He always made it about the Father and the Spirit. Isn't that amazing? So we're getting right to the end of our time here. This thing of justice, the second thing, the world's wrong in the sense that we need the kingdom. We need the kingdom of heaven. Very central in our Vineyard understanding is the inbreaking kingdom of God. And, you know, many of you in this room have heard that over and over. And why it's so important is because there's no justice without God's kingdom. We're not social activists. We're not just trying to heal people. We're not trying to fix things. We're trying to just worship Jesus with everything we have. Let his kingdom come, and when the king is present, things start coming in line. And that can keep things just really real. Again, it's not in our hands. It's in the hands of God. We have this mysterious way to partner with him, but the Spirit proves the system wrong. We need the kingdom. We need a king. It's not a human being. I don't mean a king in the sense of politics or structures. I mean Jesus. But we must learn to bow at his feet. I was at a large social justice kind of gathering. It was a secular event, but there was a lot of Christians there and that sort of thing. I was asked to do, like, kind of a little short talk, which I'm obviously not doing today, but, you know, kind of a little short reflection, kind of these TED Talk kind of vibe. And I stood out in this thing, and I'm feeling so intimidated. I mean, there's all these, like, big hitters from all over the world doing these amazing justice initiatives in the U.S. and around the world, everything. And I stepped out on this platform, and I found the first thing coming out of my mouth. I said, I'm not an activist. And the whole room just kind of, it was just like, you know, dead silence. Everything's tilting. And I said, my faith is in Jesus Christ. And I said, I'm here because I worship him. And I can't not but end up caring deeply about the issues of injustice in our society when I follow him. I end up here. But I'm here as a worshiper, not as an activist. Isn't that amazing? And it kind of takes the pressure off. Like, well, what's going on with the food? What's going on with what, you know, the things you're stepping towards? This isn't like a religious gig. This isn't a church's obligation. It's not, well, we have to check that off on the Vineyard values list to make sure we're a vineyard, you know, are we caring for the poor? This is about because the Holy Spirit has come. And when he's at work, you end up running into justice, and it changes the posture. Again, let's just take it into the things we're kind of used to talking about the Holy Spirit. Healing. Casting out of demons, raising the dead, feeding the poor, all these things. It's anchored in this thing of let the kingdom come. Let things be set right, Lord. But not through institutions, not through structures, not through just fundraising. It's like all of that can be part of it. But in simplicity, it's submitting to the invasion of the kingdom of God. And let the Holy Spirit prove that we can be the people of heaven that can be a safe place for the most broken and marginalized of the world. Isn't it amazing how that really isn't the church's reputation? So we minister out of compassion. I was going to say a whole lot more out of that, but I won't. And the Holy Spirit comes, and he convicts about judgment. Now, I will go to verse 11 just quickly. Because he convicts about judgment, and he proves the world wrong in the sense, because the prince of the world now stands condemned. And again, I don't know, you know, there's all kinds of debate. Is evil like personified? Is there an entity called Satan or, you know, whatever? But in the text here, Jesus says there is a prince of this world. The Greek is the Satan. Now, that's not church lady, you know, from Saturday Night Live. Satan. You know, it's not that. It's not that thing, those of you that are SNL fans. But, you know, there is evil all around us. John Wimber used to say, this is about life and death. This is about light and darkness. This is about a collision. We must not underestimate the work of darkness. It's not to freak out. We're not looking for demons under every lampshade. But when we step in, the power of the Spirit comes and we realize, you know what? We're really in a battle. And it's from a place of rest. We don't, whatever. But we must be ministering in the power of the Holy Spirit, because this just isn't about fixing things. This is about light colliding with darkness. This isn't just about you getting your life together. This is about light colliding with darkness. This isn't just about if we figured things out and we got it right. This is light colliding with darkness. This isn't about just, if we could just figure out the right program or the right thing to do, or just get the right pastor or get the right board or get more money or did this and that, then the Conroe Vineyard, man, well, we'd be on the map in this little town and we'd be taking it over for Jesus. Hallelujah. You know, it's like, no. We must be ministering in the power and the invitation of the Holy Spirit. This is light versus dark. This is being obedient to Christ in the midst of the stream that is just flowing this way, and we're cutting upstream going that way. So we don't throw away counseling. We don't throw away any of these things. I mean, in our journey as a Vineyard family, you know, the pendulum's kind of swung back and forth. And you can't go too far this way or too far that way. But the bottom line reality is we need the Holy Spirit. Everything's against us. Not some, you know, kind of cower in the corner, kind of Eeyore kind of moment. But it's true, right? Let's stand together. We okay? We okay time-wise? A prayer is going to come up on the screen here. It was first written about right around 600 AD. Yes, truly 1,400 years ago. I was so relieved to find out John Wimber wasn't the first person to say, "Come Holy Spirit," in the history of the church. Like, this is not a Vineyard idea, but it really is something that has stirred us. And it's quite something to step into this. As far as we know, historically, the most ancient prayer of the church, like for real, I mean, people that are way smarter than me and study history and like figure all this out. As far as we know, the most ancient prayer of the church is just three words. You've said it over and over. Guess what it is? Come, Holy Spirit. It's the oldest sort of captured, documented prayer we know in the history of the church. And then it's taken various forms and has been expressed in different ways. And, you know, at about 600 years into the Christian story, post, you know, the resurrection of Jesus, we have these words. But it's beautiful, isn't it? Let's say it together. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit. Prove us wrong about what we think about sin. Just help us not be afraid to go to the deepest parts of our brokenness and just allow you to invade that space. Prove us wrong. Cut us upstream against what we think about justice and all of that. Just get it out of politics and get it out of this and that. Just come to the simplicity of just things got to be set right. Fill us with compassion. Lord, Holy Spirit, prove us wrong about what we think about judgment. We get all freaked out about anger and this, that, Lord, just to the simplicity that there's something really dark that is warring against humanity, and you have come. You have come, as John said, Jesus, to destroy the works of the devil. You really have. So we pray this together. Come, Holy Spirit, send down. Sweet, unexpected guest, sweetly refreshed. Let's just raise our hands together. Rest in hard labor, coolness in heavy heat, hurt soul's relief. Refill the secret hearts of your faithful, O most blessed light. Without your holy power, nothing can bear your light. Nothing is free from sin. Wash all that is filthy. Water all that is parched. Heal what is hurt within. Bend all that is rigid. Warm all that is frozen hard. Lead back the lost. Give to your faithful ones who come in simple trust your sevenfold mystery. Give virtue its reward. Give in the end salvation and joy that has no end. Isn't that a beautiful prayer? I don't know if Barnett, is John still in here? I don't know, he might be. It's okay. There's just this sweet Holy Spirit song that we did last night. I don't know, maybe we could end with it. Do you know, Joel, do you know how to lead that? Or do you guys know that song? That Spirit song we did last night? Do you know that one? What, you want to come up and lead it? Yeah. Oh, John, can you do that Holy Spirit thing? It doesn't matter. I don't even care. Like, for real. Yeah, that's it. Anaconda. The anaconda who swallowed the hamster. That was it. Yeah, that song we did last night. If you could lead that, that'd be awesome. The Spirit of God. Yeah. Are any people sensing the Spirit just saying anything as we kind of just end with some worship? Are we okay time-wise? Or have we blown it here? Children need to
be removed soon.
Okay, 12:15, we can
worship this, and then you got to run like the fires, the Holy Spirit fires.
Yeah. I have this sense, and When kind of something happens from the front like this, it's just to give you courage to do the same thing. Like, it's not about, you remember, it's about the Spirit coming like a rain. I keep kind of having this sense that there's like a driving, kind of, it seems to me, like on the left side, like someone just maybe having a really bad headache, but it's almost like a bolt kind of like being driven in the side of your temple. I don't know if it's just torment in your mind or if it's actual headache. Does that make sense to anybody? Like, particularly on the left? Is that someone experiencing that? Yeah? Do you mind just stepping out just a little bit? Does it feel safe enough to just have some people pray? Are you part of the community here? So some people let's come around. Just pray for this. Just see. She's kind of not sure, but it's like, and what happens sometimes, too, you'll hear something, you go, I could pray for that. Like, I think that's what the biblical text is referring to. Like, it's like faith. Like, anyone else getting any sense of something? You know, Walter had this thing just kind of flow out of him earlier. It's all part of the same. Come, Lord, with your 220. Just blow it through the room right now. Yep. Remember? Good. Very good. Who really needed to hear that? Yeah. If you think it really helped a couple people to pray for you, just keep your hand up. Well, some people just come around you. Remember. I feel like, too, there might be, because I was kind of thinking something along that, it kind of ties in potentially, like, I think there's some people it's like, and I don't mean just like a crazy charismatic experience or something, I just mean just the nearness of God, or maybe it was healing, or maybe it was, you know, a hamster, you know, blown across the room or whatever, but it's like it's so far back there, you wonder if it actually even was real. And there is something about remembering, just going, no, you know what? That was God, and I'm not going to let go of that. And I got disappointed, and that prophecy didn't come true like I thought it would, or I got under some, you know, some crazy abusive leadership or something. I just want to throw the whole thing away. I don't even know if this Jesus stuff is real at all. You know, it's just, I feel the Spirit just wooing us and saying, just remember. It's that, you know, just look in my eyes. Look in my eyes again. I'm not a charlatan. Yeah, wacky stuff has happened, and some things have been stolen from you. But look in my eyes and rediscover, remember. Not in a nostalgic way. Nostalgia will kill you. Nostalgia will always breed religion. But the simplicity of remembering and just going, just keep it fresh. That's what we mean when we say, come Holy Spirit. It's just keep it fresh, God. Keep it present now. Does that make sense for anybody? In fact, we rarely kind of do this, or maybe we do it here. If that's your reality, just kind of maybe come more up to the front, and we can just really kind of come down and pray with you. So that you just need, it got stale, and you kind of even wonder if it's like actually real. So I just make space up here if we want to pray about that. Let's just invite the Spirit in worship again.
Thank you.
Holy Spirit, as you have moved this morning, continue to move in our lives, that, Lord, that we would experience the full continuum of your presence and the many myriad of ways that you come and bless. And the Heavenly Father, you will follow us through every time of day. That in no way, Lord, will we write you off for any moment of the day. That we're staring into your eyes, Jesus. And that we realize every moment is yours. Come and bless, Lord. Come and bless with all that you have and all that you are. Holy Spirit, as you walk with us and speak with us, we say yes. Bring your healing. Bring you the fullness of the kingdom of God into our lives today. And we praise you in the name of the blessed Son, Jesus. Amen.